Take our Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Looking at the topic, decisions. So many. Sunday morning we began looking at this topic and we couldn't quite make it through, so we'll hit one last point with it. Proverbs 14. Hey, Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for the ability just to be here. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your protection. Yes. Father, our hearts do belong to these that are unable to attend because of physical needs or maybe they're traveling, that you would bless them. Yes. Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word tonight. May it be alive and real in our lives. Father, we just thank you for what you're
going to
do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. The Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Why don't we go through that a couple more times here together. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. So as I mentioned, we began to look at this topic Sunday morning. And there will always be so much more we can learn from God's Word. But as we mentioned Sunday, probably our biggest problem will be just trying to obey what we already know. And so often that is a chore in itself. So the three things we looked at Sunday morning. Number one reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because we do not obey God. One reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because we do not obey God. And that's the point. We know so much, but are we obeying what we already know? Number two, another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because of the company we keep. We looked at that Sunday morning. If we're in the wrong crowd, we are prone to make wrong decisions. Number three, another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because of our selfishness and pride. And we looked in the Garden of Eden on that one Sunday morning, and that last thing with the serpent and Eve looking at the tree, a tree to be desired to make one wise. That was kind of the final straw that she decided to go for it. And that was pride. She thought it would make her wise. So number four tonight, this is a new one. Another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because after one or two victories, we are so prone to think we can handle the next problem ourselves. That's a long one here. Number four, another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because after one or two victories, we are so prone to then think we can handle the next problem ourselves. And just to illustrate that tonight, I'd like to go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. And to start off, we'll read through verse 9. So Joshua 1. We find here that God had to encourage Joshua so many times. Try filling the shoes of Moses. And so Joshua now, Moses has died. God has buried him. And now God wants Joshua to lead the people. And he needs a lot of encouragement to even try. So verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou what? Strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be what? Strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So verse 9 there, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. God is trying to really encourage Joshua. I'm going to be with you so you can do it, but this is what I want you to do. And he was just encouraging him over and over again. So with that encouragement, Joshua moves into action. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So the first hurdle getting into the promised land is that water. It's that river, the Jordan River. It stands between them and the promised land. So number one, God gives instructions how to get all of Israel across the Jordan River. How are they going to do it with all these people? Well, let's go to chapter 3, Joshua 3, and let's read 7 through 13. Joshua 3, 7 through 13. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon in heat. So this is the instruction The priests just touch the water with the bottom of the soles of their feet, and the water is going to go back and be held back. You drop down to verse 16. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on what? Dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So, kind of a mini Red Sea moment for these newer generations here. Walked over on dry ground. God held the waters back there. So the first obstacle, God gives instructions. The priests, the soles of their feet touch that water. I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to push that water back. And you're going to walk over on dry ground. That was a miracle. Number two, God gives instructions how to conquer the first city, Jericho. So they're looking to go into the promised land. The first obstacle is the Jordan River. God tells them what to do. He performs a miracle to get them all across without getting their feet wet or muddy. Number two, God gives instructions how to conquer the first city, Jericho. Let's go to chapter 6. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. God gives instructions how to conquer the first city, Jericho. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city, what? 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall what? Shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall what? Fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Well, they obeyed. This was the second obstacle, the first city in the promised land. God gave them a plan. A miraculous plan. And they did it, and it happened. Look at verse 20. Joshua 6 and verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall what? Fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. And then it goes on to give the exception about Rahab and her family, but everyone else perished. So in verse 27, Joshua 6:27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his what? His fame was noised throughout all the country. So two big obstacles were a breeze because God planned it and God did it. The river, how do you get all these people across the Jordan River? No problem. God gave the plan, miraculously parted the water, stopped the water from flowing down, caused dry land. They walked over on dry ground. The first city, Jericho, they didn't have to make the plan. God had a plan. And his plan, march around it once for 6 days. On the 7th day, march around it 7 times. blast of those ram's horns, the trumpets, and the people shout, the wall falls down flat, and Israel is around it, and they just all go straight up into the city, and they conquer it. What's the next obstacle? It's called Ai. In chapter 7, let's read the first five verses. Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. With number one, God gave instructions how to get all Israel across the Jordan. That was the first obstacle. Second obstacle is the city of Jericho. God tells them how to conquer it. A breeze. Number three, though, no one asked God about Ai. They'd had two easy battles. They didn't have to make the plans. God gave the plans. But after two easy victories, no one asked God what to do. And you know, in our own lives, how many times in your work or at home, you know, you're facing something and maybe you're kind of dreading it. Maybe you know it's quite a task for you to accomplish. And so you pray and you ask God for wisdom, for help, and He gives it and you rejoice. And then you face another issue and then you say, well, this is a hard thing too. Lord, I really need your help because I don't know how to do it, or I don't think I can do it. And so you go to God and He helps you. So you've had two victories. And then so another issue comes up and you think, yeah, you know, those other things seemed so hard. I didn't know what to do. But you know what? They weren't that bad. Totally forgetting about the miracles that God does. But that wasn't so bad. I think I'll just do it this way. And then what happens? We fail. We miserably fail. We just so easily forget, like with Joshua, after two victories. And now in chapter 6:27, now he's got quite a name. His fame is spread abroad. But he does not. In fact, no one seems to say, well, we better consult God about this. No, he sends some men ahead to Ai. And verse 3, their answer is, well, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither. You see, when we go to God with our needs, He carries the brunt of the load. You see, they didn't feel the brunt of the load crossing Jordan. They didn't feel the heaviness of the load fighting Jericho. God did all the work. They didn't have to batter the gates down or the walls down. God caused them all to fall down flat. Hold your place here if you would, but go with me please to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. in Matthew 11:28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." Just by the songs that were picked out tonight, it's kind of right along this line. We all know that we need the Lord. Yes, we labor. Yes, we are heavy laden. But Christ promises to give us rest. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is what? Light." When they crossed the Jordan River, they were in the yoke with the Lord. Their burden wasn't heavy. They didn't have to have thousands of people trying to pile up rocks and make sand banks that make a levee or a dike or to stop the water. They didn't have to do nothing like that. God pushed the water back. When they fought Jericho, as I said, no one had to grab onto a battering ram and pound away at the gate or the wall. God did it all. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But that's when we're in His yoke. But if we're trying to do it on our own, we're not in His yoke. And so no one, back in Joshua 7, recommended, shouldn't we consult God? I mean, remember it took a miracle to get across the Jordan? Remember it took a miracle to win Jericho? Don't you think we should consult God? God did two miracles. We could have never dried up the Jordan River. If we had to go across the Jordan in ferry boats back and forth, how many days would that have taken? I don't know. And where are you going to get the ferry boats? With conquering Jericho, how would they have conquered that city? It took a miracle, and yet, because God's yoke is easy and His burden is light, when we ask Him to help us, He helps us. But how many times are we deceived then, maybe on the third thing that comes up then, to thinking, these other things have been a breeze. Does this thing really need this much prayer? Am I just bothering God? I mean, the last two things weren't hard at all. That's because God did a miracle. That's why. But in this, they thought they could do it themselves. No one asked God. And because no one asked God, no one knew that Achan had sinned. No one knew that God had withdrawn His blessing from them until they dealt with Achan. And so 36 men die at Ai. We don't read about any person dying crossing the Jordan River. We don't read about any Israelite person dying at the Battle of Jericho. But at the Battle of Ai, we see 36 people. In chapter 7, in verse 5, "And the men of Ai smote them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them." So the verse is fulfilled in Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Everybody just didn't seem to feel a burden crossing the Jordan River. No one seemed to feel a burden fighting the Battle of Jericho. And so no one was concerned about Ai. Not even concerned enough to say, shouldn't we talk to God about this? Because we've just seen two miracles. Aren't we taking something for granted? No one said anything. So in Joshua 7, verse 6, "Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads." The sad thing is that they didn't do that before the battle instead of after they'd been defeated. And isn't that the same with us? If we would spend the time in prayer before the hard thing that we're facing, the thing we don't know what to do, is much better spending time in prayer before and finding victory than facing defeat because we never went to God. In verse 7, and Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan." What does verse 7 remind you of? The exact complaints of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Doesn't it sound just like it? Only just different places. O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? They were saying, oh, why did you bring us out of Egypt? They said that throughout the wilderness journey. To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites. Only then it was to deliver us into the hand of the Egyptians. Remember there in the wilderness standing at the Red Sea? Didn't we tell you, Moses, to leave us alone? You know, it'd be better to die back in Egypt than to die here in the wilderness. Would to God we'd been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. They had said many times, you know, we should have been content just staying in Egypt. Why did you deliver us out of Egypt? It was better back there. Joshua is starting to sound just like the people that complained for 40 years. Verse 8, Joshua says, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? So in verse 7, it's like, it's that tinge of blaming God. Why did you bring us over Jordan? It's like that attitude about, and he says, would to God we'd been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. Well, who told them to go over Jordan? God told them to go over. So Joshua is really kind of blaming God for the mess they're in. And then, verse 8, he blames the children of Israel. He says, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? You know, this is very similar to what Adam did after they sinned, when God confronted them. Adam said to the Lord, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Adam's blaming God, he's blaming Eve. Joshua is blaming God, he's blaming the cowardly Israel soldiers. So what does God tell him? Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what? Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath what? Sin. What? Israel's sin? Yeah, Joshua, if you would have just come and asked me about this battle, I could have told you before you went and lost 36 men. If you just would have come. That's right, Joshua, Israel hath sinned. And so, no, it was not God's fault. It was not the soldiers' fault. It rests upon Joshua as the leader. But it comes back to us, once again, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Truly, God gets us through just so many situations that we could never do ourselves. But then, after getting us through one of them, and then another one, how often are we on that third thing, or maybe a little bit further down the line? How often do we do the same thing? Wow, I don't have to go to God about this. Man, I was so concerned about the Jordan River, and that was nothing, man. I was so concerned about Jericho, that was nothing. That was easy. Why am I getting so concerned about AI? well, put those names on the trials we face. We must never underestimate the miracles that God does around us every day, every week, what God does for us. No, there is nothing simple enough for us to handle. I left the house and this afternoon, and I got out here to M57, and I saw the traffic. And I thought, "Whoops, I forgot something." Proverbs 3 and verse 5. I forgot something because there was 1,595,000 cars coming from the west, and there was 690,000 cars coming from the east. And I was supposed to be somewhere to pick up someone. And I'm thinking, I'm sorry, Lord. I should have acknowledged you. Yeah, it's just as simple as going somewhere in the car. And here's these cars. Just when that way had a little break, that way didn't. When that way had a little break, that way didn't. So I sat there. And all I could do was, Lord, forgive me. I should have acknowledged you first. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In what? All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That is our problem. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge him. Whether it's getting in the car and going somewhere, no, that is not simple enough for me to handle. I need the Lord's help. Whatever it is. Balancing your checkbook. Oh, I can handle that. I'm good at math. Have you ever been searching for an amount you just can't find? We need the Lord in everything, in all of our ways. So, the lesson from Joshua, no, we're not picking on Joshua because we've been in his shoes many, 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 many times. Making the same mistake. Maybe our mistake didn't cause the death of 36 men, but who knows how many other problems it did cause. So how much better to always be in the yoke with him, always. Because it does seem easy when we're in the yoke with him, because he's carrying the majority of the load. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would forgive us. Lord, forgive me. Just so many times when it seems like a simple thing, but that I don't spend time in prayer before that simple thing, I find myself then in the midst of a problem, then crying out to you. Sitting at the stop sign, waiting, praying. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me. Help me, Lord, to remember in all of my ways to acknowledge you, and that you will direct my paths. And for all of us here tonight, help us not to make the same mistake. Seeing you work in our behalf miraculously should make us come to you before every task we do. But we fail. Help us, Lord, not to fail. Help us to come before you, casting all of our care upon you, for you care for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.